welcome back to the From the Horse's Mouth. We haven't been on since last weekend. We had a good weekend last weekend, but Ruby Walsh is not with us this weekend. And in his stead, I'll reveal why in short time, Matt Chapman returns to the fold. Matt Chapman, how was the West Coast of America?
Well, it didn't have Paddy Power. That was very much to its detriment. Other than that, it was amazing. But, you know, racing without Paddy is a bit like having a little bit of soul without the power.
Oh, Jesus, I tell you what, whatever he did out there, it worked. This is the first time I was expecting, where's the low dig coming? But actually, a really nice intro. Thank you, Matt. I really appreciate it.
Well, yes. Contracts are up for renewal in a week or two. So,
Matt, before we get stuck into Saturday's racing, I want to ask you, that was your first time presenting in America? Am I right in saying?
No, not really. No, is the answer to that. Not really, Patrick. No. I mean, I've done Breeders' Cup probably about 10 times for Sky, I would think.
And, okay. At the track.
We, because the other channels all had it, we chucked a little bit more at it this time around. And certainly on social media, there was a real push. And to be fair to the team that I was with, they absolutely smashed the social media side of it. The statistics were pretty incredible. I mean, races that were watched a million times on social media. So it was pretty monstrous from that point of view. But a great experience. Not everyone likes American racing, but you do see some of the greatest horses on earth there. And once you just accept that, whether you like dirt racing or not and all that kind of stuff.
So you're back from the States, Matt Chapman. So from one world to the other, obviously, with the Breeders' Cup being where you were, and a nice little holiday for those who follow you on Instagram, like myself. You took a few days off. You enjoyed it?
Yeah, never off, though. The Paddy Power blogs continued. Oh, man. The Sun columns continued. And I watched as everyone knows these days, the great things about modern technology. Well, one of the great things about modern technology is that you can keep up to date with everything almost as if you're there. The other problem, of course, it means is that you have no excuse not to keep up with everything. And it's, if you want to switch off, it's almost impossible. And particularly on a time delay, I get all the updated bookmaker prices from every bookmaker after the racing. Which is, it's really hard when you're waking up at an 8-hour difference and you don't want to know the results before you've watched the races. You're desperately not looking at your emails to see what adjustments have been made. But it's a great thing that you can watch everything. So to be honest, from a work point of view, Patrick, yeah, because I am the ultimate professional, obviously, I've not missed anything.
Oh, well, that's good. We did miss you. But I tell you what, Ruby Walsh, who's not at the pod today, he is flirting with the enemy, by the way, Frank and Paddy. He might be on another podcast this weekend. Do we feel hurt? Do we feel angry about this?
Yeah, good enough for him. We'll rent him out for a week or so, yeah.
That is exactly what we're doing. We are going to get something in response, though. There's been a deal done behind closed doors, so we're going to get something back. We'll hold that back for later. So Ruby will be back next week, folks. But for this week and this week only, he's flirting with the enemy.
Well, I'm in the sound of this, I might have a podcast to do myself next weekend, and I'm looking forward to that deal being done.
Oh, you're a good man for a deal, Matt. There's no doubt about that. So Ruby will be back next week, and we'll get someone else as well, hopefully, in return. Right, lads, let's crack on. Let's talk about ITV
Racing. Need to.
We absolutely need to. We're going to kick off at Haydock and their big jump stay of the year. It is the Betfair Chase, of course, the feature event. But we get underway with one of these graduation chases. It's two off at 150. Brave Man. Game is the hot favorite, being 4-7. He's 7-1 second favorite for the Festival Novice Chase, the race formerly known as the RSA. Itchy Feet 7-2, 9-2 Pay the Piper, and 16-1 Al Nadam. There's about 100% more runners than usual in a graduation chase here, Frank. So I'm going to start with you. Four runners, 4-7 Brave Man's Game. That's hardly your cup of tea, is it?
Look, he wouldn't be a bet for me, but at the same time, I wouldn't really want to be opposing him either. Itchy Feet ran much better at Aintree. The form's been franked, obviously, with Midnight Shadow going on and winning the Paddy Power last weekend. But I just don't think that Haydock and this trip is absolutely ideal for him. I think it might be a bit sharp. He's looked at on occasion like he wants 3 miles. Pay the Piper ran a cracker in the Colin Parker up in Carlisle, went second to Fiddler on the Roof. But he need to improve a bit. And Al Nadam probably wants testing ground at this trip. It's just really, you're left with Brave Man's Game. Impressive at Newton Abbott, yeah, beating Fusil Raffles, albeit getting 12 pounds. But he looks a better chaser than he was hurdler. And yeah, you'd be very disappointed if he gets beaten. Nichols tends to aim at this race, but he's won it 7 times the last 10 years with the likes of Politologue and Clan de Sabot. yeah, brave man's game, a win, but wouldn't be really a bet for me if that sort of.
Yeah, fair enough. Paddy, you don't tip a 4-7 shots.
Well, I have. Well, here, to be honest, it's for the same reason. I mean, brave man's game is the most likely of these to go on to much bigger and better things. So I think, yeah, it's the obvious one. I think the Fuse and Raffles form has obviously worked out quite well. Yeah, look, I'm frank said it all. For brave man's game, I'll probably win.
And Matt Chapman, are you going to make it a sort of hat trick?
Well, I think the boys have summed it up perfectly. There's not much more to add in a small field. I've tipped up on the Paddy Power blog, Itchy Feet. Basically, just because I don't think many of my readers are that interested in me tipping up a 4-7 shot, I've said the same as the boys. Look, Brave Man's Game is the horse with potential. I do feel on the odd occasion he has really dipped his hoof into the big time. He hasn't quite come up as I would have expected. And therefore, while he might have a whole load of ones next to his name before Cheltenham, I won't be thinking he'll win at Cheltenham.
So Matt Chapman with Itchy Feet in the graduation. Move on to the 225. Watch out for extra place on this particular race. It's a big handicap hurdle. Matt, I'm going to come to you first. 5-1, right place, right time. This is one of these classic Emmett Mullins, is it a good thing kind of horses. He's been well backed in the week. 5-1. I don't think he's your man at the moment. 11-2, Orby's Legend and Rakes. 15-2, Base Rock and 8-1, a big of the rest. Extra place, Matt Chapman. Where are we going?
Yeah, I'm not one of these Emmett Mullins groupies yet. I don't think, I mean, he's bet as if he's Barney Curley, Emmett Mullins. And I think he's got something to prove until he's a Barney Curley. So I steer clear of those Mullins horses. Some of them will win, but not all of them, certainly. Look, a lot of these have never tried this distance. And therefore, it is a bit of a guessing game for me. But one horse who has, but is still lightly raced, is Jonjo O'Neill's Flight Deck. Stepped up to this sort of trip at Ascot 2 runs ago, was a decent fourth, then won at Wetherby last time. He's up £7 for those two efforts, but as a young horse, that's not too much and seems to be improving. So while, of course, any of those horses who've been over shorter might improve for this distance, I'll take the proven stamina of Flight Deck and have a few quid each way for the Jonjo O'Neill team.
Very nice. Paddy Power?
I go for Base Rock here. Just thought like one on good and one on soft as well. So the ground should be fine. Good to soft should be ideal in theory. The step up to 3 mile looks to be well within his range. I mean, it hasn't run over it before, but at the same time, the manner of his victories so far suggests that it will be within his range. I think Base Rock's a decent price, 15-2.
For the comeback kid, Ryan Mania. Frank Hickey, another comeback kid. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, you look, it's good ground at Haylock at the moment. There is 2 mils, I think, falling tomorrow.
So it'll be heavy. You know, it'll be heavy.
It could be heavy come 2 o'clock, yeah. But yeah, I'm with Paddy here on Bass Rock. Only 5-year-old, 7 career starts, didn't win until going handicapping. Bolted up a Kelso over 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs on good ground. Last time at Carlisle, up another £8, bolted up again, absolutely tanked through it, and was very weak in the market that day as well, suggesting the run may have been needed. The form has worked out already. The second T's components lad won a Pretemps qualifier yesterday at Market Raisin. And Base Rock's gone up £7. He's versatile regards ground. I think he'll stay. As I said, he stayed 2.5 furlongs shorter, no problem. Soft ground, 2.5 miles of Carlisle, stiff finish there. He stayed, like he was tanking through it and won very easy. I think he's a cracking price. I had a visit to a couple of shops yesterday.
Oh, Frank gave the shops of the mask and all. Fantastic, good man. Right, the 3 o'clock at Haylock is the big race. It's the Betfair Chase. It's a grade one. And we don't normally, as in we being the Irish, send a real top-notcher over, but we have this year at Plutard for Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore, 6-4 favourite at the time recording. Bristol Demai, he's won it 3 times, I think, 100-30, waiting patiently. Now with Christian Williams, 6-1, 13-2, next destination. Paul Nichols making good noises about his chances in the Racing Post. Royal Pagai, 8-1. Is it too quick for him? Imperial Aura, 9-1, and 33-1, bigger the rest. I'm going to go back to you, Matthew Chapman.
Okay, so I'm not a massive fan of a Plutard in this race. I just don't know if he's... Look, I don't know whether that Gold Cup form is real or not. If you take these horses at face value in the Gold Cup, Minella and a Plutard are a long way clear of the others, but Minella Indo has already proven, even though he might have needed the run, he's already proven that he's not miles ahead of the others, because if he was, he'd have beaten Frode on the other day, and he couldn't, even if he wasn't quite as fit as he should have been. And therefore, I'm yet to believe the Gold Cup form was absolutely what it looked on the day, with two horses miles better than everyone else. The Kenboy Melon Alaho form in the Savills Chase, I don't think amounts to much at this sort of level. Kenboy and Melon, admirable horses, but admirable in Ireland in what I consider very easy, winnable graded races. Alaho, of course, was a monster on one occasion at Cheltenham. So I want to take on a Plutard to cut it short. While the ground would have to be probably softer for the horse to really show his best, I'm happy to give Royal Pigai, is not an absolute 100% runner, but I have spoken to his owner, Rich Ritchie, who's in America at the moment, and he says the horse will run. So I'm going to give him a chance each way. I want to take on a Plutard.
Fair enough. Frank?
I'd agree on a Plutard. He's tended to need his first run of the season. Henry's this year, his better horses in particular, have all seemed to need the first run. Just off the top of my head, you obviously have Nilindo, Tell Me Something Girl last weekend. There was one more as well. High profile one I can't remember off the top of my head, but they have tended to need a run, and I think he might be vulnerable here. Bristol Demise is obviously a legend of Haydock. He did win here in 2008, Ian on good ground. He's the one to beat for me, but I'm going to take a chance in Next Destination with first time cheap pieces. Look, obviously a high class novice hurdler for Willie Mullins in 2018. He was third in the Ballymore, staying on behind Sam Crow and Black Op. Obviously, they were two very good novices at the time. And he won at the Punchtown Festival, stepped up to 3 miles, had 2.5 years off the track, switched stables. He won his first two chase starts, including on good ground at Newbury in the Grade Two. And in the National Hunt Chase, I think he was just done for speed by Galvin. It wasn't the most strongly run renewal, and Galvin had a bit more gears than him. But I think that form's actually quite good. I think Ascari Ten will win a big handicap this year. And obviously Galvin gave Frode on a right fright, stepped up in great, had Down Royal in the Champion Chase there. So for me, Next Destination, considering Paul Nicholls' record with these type of, you know, staying chasers, he's the best around at training them. I'll give him a squeak. I just think Imperial Aura is one I was toying with. Kim Bailey's yard are in a bit of form. Rod Pagai would be worried about the ground, weight and pace. He doesn't win enough. So yeah, Next Destination each way.
Interesting. Before I get your thoughts, Paddy, Matt has got a run to Ascot. Matt, give me your nap for the weekend before you run away.
Okay, let me just go through my other selections quickly. Haydock, 335, strictly a dancer, I think looks obvious here. Improving for Christian Williams and Jack Tudor against some other horses that might need the run. So strictly a dancer, I really like into 335. In the 205 at Ascot, I know it sounds crazy because he seems to have completely lost his way, but lost in translation, was third in a Gold Cup once upon a time. He's done nothing in his last three runs. But he now has his first effort after a wind operation. If that wind operation has changed him, he's a massive price against Dassel Drasher, who would much prefer heavier ground. The 240 at Ascot, I think, is arguably the most exciting horse running this weekend. Buzz, who was brilliant in the Cesarewitch for me on my Paddy Power.
Nah, he got it in. Well done, man.
Yeah, I got it in. He could easily win the Stayers Hurdle. 2 miles 3 will be sharp enough, but he's a stayer with a turn of speed. So I'm excited by Buzz for Nicky Henderson, Nico Chastel de Bonville. And then in the 3:15 at Haydock, at Ascot, I should say, I'm surprised Before Midnight isn't shorter in the betting. He's up £8 against the re-opposing Sky Pirate, but he jumps for fun and there aren't many other front runners in the race. I think he'll just go to the front on a Sam Twist and he'll be very hard to pass. So lovely. Of all of those, in the paper on Saturday, I have napped up. Who have I napped up? I napped up. I'm trying to think
Buzz?
Actually Before Midnight.
Buzz? Before Midnight. No.
Before Midnight, I just thought, I was amazed. I was seeing a bit of a 5-2, 11-4. I thought he might be about 7-4, 6-4 after his win last time. So Before Midnight, the nap. If that one hasn't won, don't worry, because before that, Buzz will have done to have paid for the Before Midnight bet.
Enjoy, Ascot. Thank you very much for returning to the full match chat. We will say goodbye to you.
Bye.
Goodbye, Matt. Paddy, you rudely were interrupted by Matt's exit there. So we still haven't got your thoughts. Now, we had Royal Pigai for Matt. We had, just to remind everyone, Royal Pigai for Matt. We also had for Frank, Next Destination. So no love for your beloved Henry de Bromhead.
No, enough for me either. I'm looking for one of the outsiders as well. Imperial Aura for me. Frank gave a quick mention there. I mean, what I think, Imperial Aura has had a wind operation, so hopefully that's gone well. But also goes very well fresh. And while Bristol Dumai will be like geared up and ready to go, Paul Nicholls said next destination ready to go, I think most of the others probably won't be that wound up for their first run of the season. I'd imagine Aptly Tired won't be. Frank's point is totally right. Henry likes to get a run into them for them to improve, so it seems. So interesting, Imperial Aura goes well fresh, had the wind up, was pretty progressive early in last season, kind of finished the season poorly, but maybe that was the wind. So at 9-1 each way, when I put a line through the favourites, put a line through Waiting Patiently and Royal Pagai and Channel Street Lad, really, you know, if you get the eight runners, I think it's a good each way bet, 9-1.
Okay, that's very interesting. We've had a Betfair chase with a 6-4 favourite, and three of us, out of three of us, none of us could pick the favourite. Interesting. We'll see how those three go. Surely one of them will get in the frame at the very, very least. The last race of Haydock on Saturday on ITV is a 3 mile and a furlong handicap chase. Strictly a Dance Before, to hear from Matt. He fancies that one. That's a 6-4 favourite. Ramses to Tele for David Pipe is 130. 6-1 Empire Steel. Potter's Corner is 7-1 for Christian Williams. 9-1 Fiddux and Mr. Muldoon. Double figure odds the remainder. I'll go straight to you, Paddy, this time.
Yeah, I've gone with Strictly a Dancer as well. I just thought there's a lot to like about that win at Cheltenham last weekend. I just think he's on a bit of a role. I just think this role could continue for the moment. Not loving Ramsey to tie the Pipe Yard, hasn't been really banging them in for ages really. Empire Steel, I think there's a few doubts about that. Potter's Corner is about, it's older than me. I think Strictly a Dancer is on the up, a youngish horse, and can keep winning. Yeah,
Frank, are you gonna make it a hat trick?
Yeah. Look, he was very impressive last weekend, and he was value for further than the winning distance because he's taken it up three out because nothing could take him any further. It's kind of idled up the hill a little bit. I think had been able to take him maybe to between the last two, I think he would have won 10 lengths. He was that much superior. £7 won't stop him. The only worry is, look, he's won a 3 mile handicap chase at Cheltenham just 7 days ago. If it hasn't taken anything off him, I think he'll take an awful lot of beating. Like, they probably need to get him up at least another stone to be getting into Cheltenham in March. And no doubt that's where they're aiming.
That's really interesting, lads. You've had a grade one Betfair chase and none of you can agree. And then we have a tricky handicap hurdle of 335 over 3 miles in a furlong. All three of you agree. You're a funny bunch. You're a funny bunch. But we love you all the same. Let's move on to Ascot's card. I think Ascot is a great card on Saturday. Arguably, bar the Betfair chase, I'm more interested in this one than I do at Haydock. Personally, the 205 is the Chanel Pharma 1965 chase. By the way, if you're betting on paddypower.com, i.e. in the app or on the desktop, this is a cracking little money back offer. Money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third or fourth, up to a tenner. That's a really good offer because I think you can boil this race down to a couple of horses. But it's not about me. It's about Frank and Paddy. Dashiell Durasher, 5-2 favourite, loves Ascot. 130 Defi de Soy, 7-2 loss in translation. We've already heard from Matt. He fancies that. 9-2 Master Tommy Tucker, back over fences after his spin over hurdles. 7-1 Benny's King, 12's Pistol Whip. Frank Hickey, kick us off.
Matt, with loss in translation, look, deeply disappointing last year, but the Tazers really did have a bad season. They only had 32 winners from the start of October to the end of April last year. I think they have 24 this season so far, obviously from whenever that was, May till now. But they've had 8 winners in the last 2 weeks, 23% strike rate. Seem in much better form, as Matt's already alluded to. He's had a wind up. He was third in a Gold Cup where it wasn't the most strongly run Gold Cup ever that year. But I think he was outstayed by Alboum Foto and Santini. This trip is probably, suitable enough for him. Good ground is going to be in his favour. I think it's a negative for Dashiell Durasher. Possibly even Defi de Soy a bit. And Defi de Soy is another one on retrieval mission. He, completely bombed out since that champion chase when he went off very short price. And for me, with the air back in form, Lost in Translation just has that bit of class and mobiles and gets back on track.
We're looking at a few races at Ascot today, Paddy, and I'm going to put words in your mouth because I know you love a course specialist almost as much as you love a trainer in form. Are you going to be going Dashiell Durasher, Sully Dock Double?
Well, funny enough, Dashiell Durasher is one that has never been beaten at Ascot.
Correct.
But as Frank says, once softish ground and also the Jeremy Scott yard, they probably don't have as many runners as some of the bigger yards, but hasn't had a winner for a while. Isn't in greatest form ever. So for that reason, I'm actually abandoning my usual lazy theory of just back and forth specialists. And I'm going to go for Master Tommy Tucker, turn the form around with Dashiell Durasher. And I think the key that kind of swung me in his favor was just the fact that he's had a pipe opener over hurdles last time, finished fifth or whatever, but I'm guessing that's to get him ready to go back jumping fences. Lost his way a bit over fences last year, but presumably Nicholls can get him back on track. And I just think, yeah, he's got a decent chance. Definitely to saw he wants softer ground. Last station could totally see it. But, you know, maybe want to see him go to his nine. I saw Mr. Tommy Tucker's 10, I suppose. But like, yeah, but look, I mean, maybe last translation, the two lads went for that. But Master Tommy Tucker for me.
Yeah, he's got way less miles on the clock, though, I'm pretty sure, Master Tommy Tucker. Very, very lightly raced. So the calm and reserve Paddy Power tips up the head case that is Master Tommy Tucker, who is more than capable of throwing in an absolute horlicks of a blunder. Interesting to see how that one goes. 240 is the Carl Hurdle. It's a grade two. It's over that kind of intermediate trip, two mile five. Buzz, we've already heard from Matt Chapman. He's very keen on Buzz, 11 to 10 favorite after he, by the way, guys, I don't know if you heard Matt Chapman tipped up Buzz to win the Cesarewitch. Did you hear that? He mentioned that, I think he mentioned it. 7-2, Goshen. Ugh. Talk about head cases. 4-6-1, Molly's Ollie's Wishes. She's up and coming. Song for Someone won the race last year, 13-2. And Guard Your Dreams, 13-2. So, and Paddy, to you first. There's only the five of them, I can count. And I actually can't really strongly rule out any of them according to the betting.
Yeah, I mean, but funny. Like, I think the ground is important here. And I think Buzz's win this is Cesaro, which was quite impressive. And, you know, and Matt made a case for Buzz, which is definitely sensible. I think Goshen I'd be against because of the ground. I think Goshen definitely wants, well, I think Goshen wants softer ground. Molly's Ollie's Wishes, I think, needs to really keep improving at a massive rate to be winning this, but is a horse on the up. Guard Your Dreams, not so sure he's good enough. Song for Someone, again, I think maybe was flattered by a couple of the wins last season. So by process of elimination, I'm going to agree with Matt Chapman and go for Buzz.
Oh, I was wondering where you're going, because I thought you'd nearly ruled them all out. Frank, what are your thoughts?
Nothing's going to win. it's a bad state of affairs when you have to go back a month to highlight a winner you tipped, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, come on, Frank. Yeah. Well, at least he tips horses that actually run, Frank. I mean, if you tip another non-runner nap, I tell you, if you kick off the
bar. To be fair to Frank, for the record, Frank said, I was going to nap Midnight Shadow, but I'll nap. So if, in theory, he gave a second. And then
Did he actually say that?
He goes, I was very close to napping Midnight Shadow, but I've napped whatever it was. It was a Kintaro.
So effectively it was an ND.
So like, it should be substituted in now, to be fair. Yeah.
Well, the producer edited it out, so there's absolutely no record of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can miss it by. Go on then, Frank. Give us the winner of the Coral Hurdle.
Yeah, look, I'd be with Buzz here. Goshen wants easier ground. He has a £6 penalty as well. Song for Someone has a £6 penalty. I'd be like, unless there's some rain coming, that's not forecast, I think Goshen might end up being an on-runner. Guard Your Dreams is impressive in a handicap at Cheltenham last time, but that was only off a mark of 140. He needs to improve a fair bit. Molly Ollie's Wishes is an improver. She was very impressive at Wetherby over 2 miles, which I thought would have been sharp enough for her, but she was found out when put in against the Geldings and the National Spirit Hurdle at Fontwell. All her winning has been against mares, so I have that small question mark with her. And just Buzz, look, he's been very impressive. He bolted up the handicap hurdle here at Ascot off a mark of 137, nearly followed up off 11 pounds higher when second to Not So Sleep in the Betfair Exchange Trophy. He was second in the entry hurdle behind Abracadabra. He won the Cesaro, which is last time off a mark of 96. For someone who backed Burning Victory, that was gutting. And look, he's only seven, he's improving, and be very disappointed if he gets beaten out of us.
16-1 for the Stayers Hurdle. The Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle. Sorry. Oh, jeez. That could be people.
Yeah, I just saw comments from Nicky saying he might have a few too many gears for...
I had a quick look before the pod to see what he was priced for the champion, and I stopped scrolling. So he's either big or not priced. Too big or not priced.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they just work back from entry with him.
The entry hurdle. Yeah, probably good. A flat track might suit him as well. Okay, thanks, lads. That's 3 votes for Buzz. So 3 votes for Strictly Dancer, 3 votes for Buzz. You mentioned that Goshen might be a non-runner, Frank. There's one way of making sure he'll be a non-runner. Nap him.
There's no chance of me napping him.
All you got to do. Give him that nap. Non-runner.
Well, at least there's napping horses that are declared, as opposed to earlier this year, I was fucking backing loads of horses and depots that were non-runners.
Okay, move on to the quarter past three. This is the 2 mile handicap chase. It's a cracking little race. This does feature Matt Chapman's nap. It is before midnight. He's napped it up. It's 2-1 at the time of recording. He beat Sky Pirate last night. Obviously, Sky Pirate has a pull on the weights now, 7-2. Amula Gold is 11-2. Nibbled that from 6-1 for Bridget Andrews and Dan Skelton. 6-1, Monsieur Lecoq. 7-1, Sully Dock, who I believe was napped up previously by Mr. Power. That's drifted slightly out to 7s. And 9-1, Diego de Charmeil, 12s, Dollos for Paul Nichols. Okay, Frank, give us a winner.
I think it'd be a very topical winner if before midnight won, considering what happened this week, isn't it? Sure, you can only get a pint or catch COVID before midnight.
Yeah.
I think it's a very tricky race for a bet. I before midnight, he's kind of on my radar for the Grand Annual. Does he want to be winning that if he wants to win in March? Maybe he will do, but it's very competitive and I just couldn't really, you know, come down on anything strongly, so I'll leave it be.
That's fine. For our listeners over in the UK, the reason Frank said before midnight is that our bars and nightclubs have to shut before midnight now once again. So whoop-de-doo. But then again, Paddy, I don't think that's a major problem for the likes of myself and yourself.
Oh, well, you can go to Coppers now at 6 o'clock in the evening.
6 p.m. You go after work to Coppers straight into the nightclub. Well,
it is honestly one of the things I've learned in my vast experience of going out a lot is that like there's just three things to remember. Out early, drunk early, home early.
Yeah.
Because then the next day begins with up early, because it always does anyway when you got kids. Yeah. So honestly, that's the only way forward.
There was
the
home a rule.
Early is the hard part of that, by the way.
Yeah, there was a rule. 10 points before 10. Have you heard that one?
Well, that's plenty now, to be fair.
10 before 10, it'd be grand. Yeah.
I've gone against Sully Dock here, even though he's an Ascot specialist, with another horse that seems to be turning into a bit of an Ascot specialist. That's a Moolah Gold, who's run three times at Ascot, won twice, was second once. All of those were two were photo finishes and one was a neck. So obviously all very close races. So it's one that just about scrambles home at Ascot, but obviously loves a stiff finish there, or well, just gets away with it maybe is the way to describe it. But and also the Skelton Yard going well. So I thought Amula Gold has a reasonable chance. But I won't be surprised if before midnight is too progressive, but I think Amula Gold for me.
Yeah, yeah. I think if you haven't watched the video of it winning the last, it's worth the watch, isn't it?
Yeah.
It came from miles behind.
Was Bridget Andrews on board as well that day, or was it Harry?
Bridget Andrews was on board, correct.
Okay, so horse who came from miles back winning. Yeah, got the feeling that it might have been Bridget rather than Harry.
Yeah.
Shots fired. Okay, before I tip into potentially a weekend naps, if they come on Saturday, Frank, any other races on Saturday that caught the eye?
Yep. 210 Haydock listed novices hurdle. Might I look very exciting on his hurdles debut at Newton Abbott and heavy ground. Absolutely bolted up, beating a horse called
12-10. Sorry, just 12-10, I think.
What time did I say?
You said 210.
Oh, okay. Sorry, 12-10. Sorry.
So when we start drinking, now that we've been before midnight.
Yeah. The second Thunder Rock won at Wetherby last week to Frank the Farm. Might I barely come off the bridle, travelled powerfully, cleared away. Be very different ground here. He was an impressive bumper winner as well at Warwick on debut. Was found out in a listed bumper at Newbury. Pulled too hard that day, didn't get home. He does tend to travel a bit, maybe too enthusiastically, but he's only after three starts in his career. If he's kind of learning to settle a bit better, he's huge potential. And I'd be a little bit disappointed now if he got beaten.
Okay.
And over Goran Park, we have the chase debut of Bob Allender. But it's a very good race. Again, look, I made the point last week, but this is a good race. Like, as in, he's up against a grade one winning novice hurdler in Column of Fire. Obviously, the wheels have come off a little bit for him since Ashdale Bob won a grade three and a grade two novice hurdle last year. Bacardi's was very useful in his pomp. He's obviously on the decline. He's still rating about 150, though, you know. And then you've got Coccolino, Deal Kerr, Master Maxi. It's a very good race.
Funny on that, yeah. On that note, like, to if Matt was still here, like, we could argue the point with him. Like, I mean, there are no easy like graded races anymore in Ireland. There's too many good horses over here. Like, back in the day he was correct, like maybe back in the early part of the Willie Mullins dominance and stuff, that was Noel Mead before Christmas, Willie Mullins after, and they just used to mop up everything. But now it's just like there's Bob Allender's a 1-3 shot, and you'd like to think we'll go and win if he's the airplane, but like,
you gave it away. I was going to ask Frank, because did you price this race, Frank?
I didn't price it, no.
I was going to put you on the spot. Were you aware of the prices?
No,
but the point is that now, like, I mean, you can be sure that the connection to Bob Olinger would love to have a 1-3 shot in a 5-runner race or whatever, and just let him pop around and learn his trick, learn the trade or whatever, and never test him till Christmas or whatever, one of the festivals. But it's just not the case anymore.
But the thing is, as well, is he's obviously high class, but like, and he probably will outclass these, but you'd imagine still the experience of beating horses like that is going to stand to him when you get to Cheltenham, you know, rather than like at least Paul Nicholls with Brave Man's Game is taking on older horses and maybe, you know, getting some bit of a test. What you see a lot with the English horses, there's nothing really, you know, there's 4 or 5 runner races, they're not really tested, they go to Cheltenham, they get run over. I think it's down into the Irish horses a bit.
It's a beginner's chase at this time of season. Yeah, it's almost like a graded race, isn't it? I'm just going to run through the prices for you, Frank. 1-3, Bob Olinger. 7-2, Ashdale Bob. 16-1 then. Outside the top two, so Bacardi's, Coccolino, Deal Kerr, Column of Fire's 18-1, 25-1. Master McShee, like, he's a good horse as well. Like, and he's 25-1 shot, so you're dead right. Look, it's a watching brief, or at 1-3, can you actually take him on?
I would just watch... Yeah, fair like enough. You just don't know. Like, some of those might be more handicap. You know, you don't like if you're thinking of handicaps later in the year, you don't want to be finishing up the ass of Bob Olinger either. Like,
can you imagine finishing 2 legs behind Bob Olinger and he's 1-3 for a Cheltenham race? If you're like, oh no,
exactly. I think it's pricing that Ashdale Bob, you know, is a horse that potentially could be a grade one chaser, maybe. So, I think he'll try and give him a race anyway, but
I've heard it. The O'Keefe brothers, they are brothers, Stara and Sean. Yeah, I think they are, aren't they?
I think they are as well. Yeah,
I think. Well, they ride the top two there, Dara O'Keefe and Bob Olinger, and Sean and Ashdale Bob.
Both very, very good jockeys.
Very good. Well, when you start riding winners for J.P. McManus when you're very young, I always think, they're not stupid there. Okay, watch out for Bob Olinger. Watch out for what was it called Might Eye, or was that in the 12-10. Might I in the 12-10. Anything else on Saturday?
Might I in the 12-10.
Let's talk naps. Okay, let's talk naps. We know that Matt Chapman has already napped up in the 3:35, was it at Haydock? It was... the 3:35 at Ascot. Gone before midnight. So, Frank, your nap on Saturday?
The 1:15 at Haydock, the 2-mile, 3-furlong handicap hurdle. I'm going with Tommy's Oscar, progressive last season, winning 4 times, including easily accounting for the reopposing Christopher Wood at Kelso off a mark of 132. He was 3rd in the Scottish Champion Hurdle off a mark of 138. He's been 2nd and 3rd in his 2 starts this year. I think he was a bit keen at Weatherby, might have needed a touch. The 3rd last time at Carlisle, I think a strong form. He was absolutely hammered in the market that day. I actually priced the race. I think I might have been 9-2 or 5-1 initially. I think he went off. Did he go off 6-4 or 7-4? I couldn't believe how short he was.
Good work, Frank.
He got beaten though.
Oh, okay.
He was beaten in 3rd, so it wasn't so bad. But I think the form is relatively strong. I've already made a case for Bass Rock, who won the race for later on in the card. The 2nd T's component lad, as I've already mentioned, won at Weatherby, at Market Raisin. And I think 2.5 miles on soft ground with a stiff finish at Carlisle might have just tested stamina a bit. He'd been campaigned mainly at 2 miles under rules. I think he did win a point though, but I think getting to 2 miles 3 on better ground on a flat track be a bit more of a test of speed. The one concern I have is he tends to jump to his right a small bit, but I've no doubt he's well handicapped, and I think he's got a massive chance, Tommy's Oscar. And just in case he's a non-runner for any chance, very close to putting in Bass Rock as the substitute.
The vice snap.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, the related double, the 2 in that Carlisle form, Tommy's Oscar, Bass Rock.
Okay, so Tommy's Oscar's your nap. If it doesn't run, when it's pulled out, we'll go over to Bass Rock. Paddy, your nap of the weekend, and then we'll look at it Sunday, by the way, folks.
Real countdown style. I'm going to show you my notes.
No!
I haven't gone for Tommy's Oscar, but I have gone for Bass Rock as my nap, so... So there you go. So maybe the 2 of them can win with the form tied in. I actually didn't realise that form is tied in, so I didn't even look at the Tommy's Oscar race. But just Bass Rock, I mean, we made the case for it earlier on. I just think looks like one, the step up on trip will just bring out even more improvement. He's bolted up in his couple of races recently. So Bass Rock for me.
Brilliant. Okay, there's the three naps, folks. It was the 3:15 at Ascot, sorry, that Matt's nap came in before midnight. Bass Rock for Paddy and Master Tommy for... No, Master Tommy Tucker. Yeah, Master Tommy Tucker. Tommy's Oscar for Frank Hickey. We'll be back shortly. We're going to look a quick look ahead to a very good card on Live on RT on Sunday. But first, a very important message.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, an excellent card on Sunday at Navan. The feature race is the Troy 10. It's one of our big meetings of the season. There's also a graded novice hurdle on the card, a grade three, the John Lynch Carpets Monksfield novice hurdle. Love a new carpet, John. There's seven horses declared for the race. We're operating without prices at the time. We were talking off air, Frank and myself, which of Gordon Elliott's two will be declared? Will it be Ginto or will it be Hollow Games? And good man Gordon, he's declared both of them, Frank.
Yeah, I'm very surprised with that. I'd still be a bit skeptical if both of them will actually run. Wouldn't be shocked if one of them became a non-runner, maybe.
The one you tip?
it's completely thrown me that the two of them are in. I think, look, Hollow Games is probably the slightly more exciting of the two of them. You could see why Davey would pick him over Ginto. If they both did run, I'd probably just side with Hollow Games, but I'd still be a little bit surprised if both of them run.
Such a cynic, Frank. You're such a cynic. Yeah, it does look between the two, doesn't it? Like, massively. They seem to be miles apart from the others, right in saying?
Look, the only thing you would say is Baron O'Cully. Look, it probably has a bit to find, but McAlpine went to Cheltenham and won very nicely to Frank that Wexford farm. But at the same time, you know, I'd be surprised. Like, he's got a rate of 122 after winning that. I'd be surprised if Hollow Games and Ginto weren't running to high 130s, probably.
Fair enough. I'm going to skip you, Paddy, because you said that race is impossible. Anyway, the Troy Town, the 250, this is one of the big 3-mile handicaps that we see all through the season. And like so many of these, it is littered with maroon and white and green and gold. There's Jigginstown and JP all over the place. 2A Permi, he's won this race before. He tops the weights for Niall Mead and Owen Walsh. At 11 stone 10, Farclad, Runwell, Fred. You've got Top Moon, Ishka Baha, the two big two, arguably, for JP and McManus. I'm not going to run through all of them. I'm going to come to you, Paddy, because you said off air, the horse I fancy was declared. Yeah. What horse is it?
I'm guessing, in my head, the Troy Towns usually run a big slog and it's like deep, really deep ground and they all struggle to get home and everything. But the ground is good this year, so it's going to be unusual like that we get. It's going to maybe a different type of horse we get winning. And I've gone for one that doesn't win very often, but is always seems to be kind of fancied in these big competitive races. And doesn't win very often, but runs in these big, mad competitive handicap chases. Mr. Fog Patches for Pat Fay and Richard Deegan. Be a decent price. It'd be double figures anyway, probably 10 or 12 to 1, I'd imagine, maybe even a bit bigger. And I just think the good ground will be key. And I think some of the other horses, if they were aimed at this race, they probably weren't aimed at this race with good ground in mind. So I think Mr. Fogpatches probably has a little bit of an advantage over probably at least half the field from the ground condition point of view.
Well, it's crucial you mentioned one of potentially double figure price because there will be an extra place or places on this race. We just don't know as of yet. Frank, be generous, will you? When you go back into that meeting afterwards, the trading meeting, 17 runners, so more than four places, you can be sure of that.
I'd be surprised if we don't have five, yeah. Would you believe it? I like Mr. Fogpatches as well. I priced this up on Tuesday, and I think I was a single figure price Mr. Fogpatches because I was like him. That was a bit bigger elsewhere, all right. He's only 2 for 27 in his career, but he has definitely improved for going up and trip in, you know, the big field staying handicap chase. He was third in a Scottish National off a mark of 129. He won at the Punchtown Festival over just shy of 4 miles off a mark of 128. That was on good ground. He wasn't beaten far in the stole over 2.6 miles, which probably would have been a tiny bit sharp for him around the stole. He's only beaten 2.25 lengths, I think. And he was third in the Cork National off 134, albeit beaten 22 lengths. But the winner was very impressive that day, Braeside. He won a handicap hurdle on this card 2 years ago as well, so the track should be no issue. Richard Deegan takes three off. He's a big chance, very big chance.
Frank, would you read much into it's something I forgot. It's something in the back of my mind that I forgot to be looking at the last couple of weeks. But like the time of year for some of these horses, if they happen to win like this time of year, that it happens time and time again. Is that more just if they're
it's
trained
more,
for that
it's
time
more
of year?
If there's an inconsistent sort of, you know, profile in them. You know what I mean? Where they do all their winning in October, November, but then the spring they're terrible. Then, you know, you'd kind of definitely put weight in it then. But, you know, if they're winning October, November and finishing second and third in the spring, I would put nothing in it really. Like, you know, bar unless the other thing I would look at is if they win fresh every year, it's another thing I would look at a lot. Like, you know, are they really good or do they tend to need a run? But yeah, like there are some horses that you'd see it sometimes in the Racing Post, like all their wins have been in April, you know? Is it coincidences or is it just, you know, when a bit of sun comes out, you'd factor it in, but maybe something like that, very small. But like as I said, if their form kind of tails off as the season goes on, you definitely would factor that in then a lot more strongly.
I love it when you guys agree. Buzz, Strictly a Dancer, and Mr.
Bass Rock.
And with Bass Rock, there was 2 out of 3, though, am I right in saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when Matt didn't pick us.
And Matt doesn't count. Jeez, will you?
He's skedaddled off. But 3 horses there. Put in a nice Trixie for the weekend. It could be all right. Although Buzz is obviously quite short. But yeah, no, that's interesting. I love it when you guys agree. Gentlemen, that is the lot for the weekend. Thank you very much. We will be back next week. We'll be looking ahead to next weekend's content. And hopefully there will be a certain Ruby Walsh back. And we'll eventually get someone else from the other guys to come with us. We're also next month, by the way, at some stage, we're going to do the Punters panel again. It went down really well. Thank you, Paddy and Frank. So we're going to do that again. I've sent you an email on that. Ruby never got back to me on my emails. Don't know why.
He has you blocked, I'd say.
Listen, thanks very much, lads. Enjoy the weekend. Paddy, weekend plans, go for it.
Very family weekend this weekend. So my second number two child is in kind of Irish college for the year. So boarding school, basically, through Gaeilge, through Irish.
Ring.
He's going back this afternoon. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. And then my daughter Annabelle has her first Holy Communion. This is so Irish for all the English listeners. So Irish college boarding school, first Holy Communion tomorrow for Annabelle. And this is one that was postponed from last year because of COVID. So we have to have a smallish gathering tomorrow. Again, very Irish because we're only allowed to have, we're not only allowed, but it would be frowned upon to have loads of people to the gaff. Then tomorrow night, nothing too hectic. And then we're going to see Santa on Sunday. So very, very family focused weekend, you know.
What do you rake in now in the first communion? What's the expectation now? It used to be, I think I got 100.
I think I got maybe 65 for my communion. And I broke 100 for my confirmation. Now, look, honestly, I'd hate to say, but like there is a potential of becoming 1,000-er.
No!
Well, my wife would be involved in that, you know, teaching some of those classes. Like, and she was saying like 2 or 3 grand isn't unheard of now.
What? But
How much do you put in a communion card? And I think 50 is the only note that's acceptable. Like
two book tokens. That's
I'll be honest, Jay. Like it's in remaking your communion there the week before Cheltenham would be a good way of boosting your bank.
Or if one of your kids does, even Frank.
Well, your wife is a little bit young, yeah.
Frank, what are you working a weekend?
I'm off tomorrow, so I'm be minding Oliver for most of the day. Jill's taking a break. I was toying with the idea of going down to Cork. My hometown, Kilbritton, are in the county final, Páirc Uí Chaoimh at 5 o'clock. I want to say best of luck to them. Hopefully they get the job done. I'll be able to get down to watch it. So I think it's being streamed, hopefully. They do the business. And I'm working Sunday then. So
Are there prices on that county final?
There probably would be. I think they'd be slight underdogs, I would be thinking. Look, they've been absolutely flying it this year. They're hammering everyone. But Lisgould is who they're playing the final. They're quite good. You might know Jamie Wall is actually training Kilbritton. You might have seen him on the Late Late Show. He's a couple of months ago. Very good young.
I'll be honest. By the time the Late Late comes on,
he was a very good hurler, and he got an issue with his back, and he ended up being paralysed. You might know of him.
Oh, yeah, I heard about it. Yeah,
he's trained Mary Ryan and stuff. He's a brilliant young hurler. Nice fella. But hopefully they'll get the job done on Saturday.
Cool. I'm getting a local lad round to have a look at the fields with a digger. That's my plan for the weekend, right?
How is it coming along? Good, yeah.
We got cattle into the field there, one of the fields the other day, and they're just eating the grass. It's great. And so I went for a walk with the two pups down the road, and about 500 yards down the road, I met five cattle. They weren't supposed to be there. So the dub then had to herd cattle, young dairy cattle, back into his field. If it was on television, it would... It's not easy, no. And I can tell you, I was very lucky that a car was coming the other way because they were just running away from me. Because I had two dogs as well. Yeah. They were just like, get the hell away.
I'll tell you a story about it very quickly. My uncle, who's actually dead now, he used to transport livestock in his truck. So we'd go into the field and myself and my brother said we'd help him get the cattle out of the field, bring them up to the farm, throw them onto the truck. So they were in the field getting the cattle. I was outside on the road blocking them from going one way. They've come out of the field, had a look at me, and just ran up the other way. So I didn't know what to do. So I ran after them. So I ended up running
after them
for about a kilometre. And they went ran into a garage, through the fence, into another field, mixed with another load of cows. And I'll never forget my uncle just going, God almighty, you're some bollocks. And the good thing was I was never asked to do any helping him ever again.
That's helpful. I will say that. So I'm learning lots.
And for those who don't know, like, you just didn't get a new house recently. It's more of a mini estate, really, like, isn't it?
Oh, you've done the lap, Frank. Yeah. There's plenty of walking out here, all right. Gentlemen, I think we've given them enough agricultural tales for the weekend. Look, have a good weekend. Enjoy back a few winners. Enjoy the race. And we'll be back next week. Until then, take it easy.